Why experts worry when people have no bank account at all. I'm David Brancaccio. There's word the Justice Department is set to file a big antitrust lawsuit against Google today. This would be the biggest case aimed at anti-competitive practices that can hurt consumers since the famed Microsoft browser case of 20 years ago. The Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission continue to investigate not just Google / Alphabet, but also Apple, Amazon, and Facebook. Google broadly argues its many businesses benefit consumers in a myriad of ways. Today was seen by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi as the deadline for cobbling together a broad package of pandemic relief before the election 2 weeks from today. Let's consult economist David Kelly, chief global strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds. Greetings.
Good morning.
So stimulus maybe before the election, maybe not. You're saying regardless of how the election goes, you think there'll be an appetite for broader stimulus maybe soon after?
Yes, because everything, of course, has been about the election. I think all sides have been playing politics with this throughout the year. But once the election is over and, you know, it's only 2 weeks away, then in a lame duck session of Congress, if something hasn't been passed by now, I think something will be passed because, you know, nobody wants people going into the holiday season getting evicted in huge numbers or going broke. So I really think some package will pass Congress before the end of the year.
So we're so close to the election now that it doesn't really matter if we get stimulus before or after?
Well, of course, it makes a great deal of difference if you can't pay the bills on a week-to-week basis. Those days seem very long. But for the macroeconomy, no, I don't think it does make any difference. I think that the economy boomed in the third quarter. It's going to grow much more slowly in the fourth quarter at this stage, whatever happens. But then there will be stimulus as we go into the new year. And so I expect growth to resume next year and, of course, pick up once we have a vaccine.
All right. David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds. Always good to talk to you.
Anytime.
Before pandemic, the number of households without either a checking or a savings account was falling, but then there's pandemic. Marketplace's Erica Barris joins us from Pittsburgh. What are the new numbers?
First of all, these numbers, like you said, are from 2019, so pre-pandemic. The survey found that households where no residents had a checking or savings account, or unbanked households, fell to 5.4% from 6.5% in 2017. 1.5 million households had a member open one of those bank accounts. That's the lowest rate since the FDIC survey began back in 2009. It reflects a time when unemployment was at a record low.
All right. Well, what are the demographics? When we say unbanked, who are we talking about?
Black and Latino households are more likely to be unbanked than white households. The rate for those groups in 2019 was 13.8 and 12.2. For white households, it was 2.5. Bank account holders have to meet minimum balance requirements. Otherwise, you end up paying monthly fees. And lots of people don't have a few hundred dollars just to have a bank account.
Yeah. And, you know, 2019 numbers here are the freshest ones, but 2020 is a different universe.
Yeah, we are in a pandemic with a jobless rate at nearly 8%. This kind of economic turmoil means the number of unbanked households could rise again.
All right. When a family has no bank, remind us of the concern.
In many cases, it means when you pay bills, you're paying additional fees for a money order. If you get checks, you have to rely on check cashing. You aren't building credit or earning interest. And in this time of increased e-commerce, it makes it harder to buy things online.
Erica Barris, thanks. With calls to rethink funding or defund police forces amid renewed calls for social justice and police reform, some school districts are taking a new look at the officers they employ. Vinish Ahmed reports from Detroit, where a local organization asked students for their thoughts.
You see the police?
What's this one?
Okay, this teacher.
About 20 students are moving around a picnic table, trying to decide which basket to put glass pebbles in. Each basket is labeled nursing or textbooks to represent how the school district should spend its money.
You have to tell us how you allocate the funds. These are funds.
Right. How would you allocate it? How much would
Sarita Darby heads a youth organization called Detroit Heals Detroit that sponsored this activity. By the end, there's not a single pebble in the basket marked policing. The Detroit School Board has called for a task force to run a similar exercise to decide how to respond to community appeals to defund the school police force. The school district employs 55 officers. Misha Stallworth is the secretary of the Detroit School Board.
We as an organization are responsible for our employees. And so when you're directly hiring someone, if you talk about eliminating a department, you're talking about taking food out of people's mouths.
Those representing school police say cuts would mean more calls to city police. Mo Kennedy is the executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers, a trade group for school police.
And when that help comes, it's going to be a patrol officer who probably does not have that level of a relationship with that school.
Detroit schools have decreased the school police budget by $1 million since 2017 and spent $7.5 million on policing last school year. Aaron Leon Byers is a 15-year-old high school sophomore who says school police have a role to play, but some put him on edge.
I'm maybe not afraid of the police. I'm just afraid what they might do.
The Detroit School Board's task force will start reviewing its school policing strategy in the coming months. In Detroit, I'm Beenish Ahmed for Marketplace.
And more on that Google antitrust case today with Kai Rizdal, host of Marketplace, later on many public radio stations or at marketplace.org. This is our morning report. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.